This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأصحابه وولا رب شرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a juz a day. We're going to be studying inshallah today the remainder of the third juz. We're a little behind in that regard, and we will be studying the fourth juz today as well. What we will be aiming to complete inshallah today is the entirety of Surah Ali Imran. Surah Ali Imran is the third surah of the Quran. It started in the third juz and it continues into the fourth and ends roughly three-fourths of the way. So our goal will be to complete that inshallah, and then tomorrow we can pick up Surah An-Nisa afresh inshallah. That is our plan inshallah for today. Let us get started. We'll pick up firstly from the study of the family of Imran, as Allah describes them, or as Allah calls them, the family of Imran. And that family of Imran is what the surah is named after. The surah is named after them, Imran and Zakaria had married into the same family. They were married to two sisters, and the wife of Imran and the wife of Zakaria both did not have kids. But then the wife of Imran got pregnant, and she wanted this child to be muharraran, dedicated to the service of Allah. Okay. And generally that was the case of for boys. You would have boys who would be dedicated for the sake of Allah in Bani Israel, in Bani Israeli history, and then specifically Christian history, where these men would be monks who would leave the life of the world and just dedicate themselves full time to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the wife of Imran wanted that to be the case for her child, assuming it was a son, but it turned out to be فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. I have given birth to a girl. And this girl was Maryam. So the relationship between Maryam and Zakaria alayhi salam is Zakaria was married to the khala, the aunt of Maryam. Okay. Now, when Maryam was born, the family of Imran were puzzled at what to do. But the mother of Maryam, she said, "I will fulfill her oath." She said she will fulfill her oath, and thus Maryam alayhi salam became a monk who would dedicate herself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as that was the case, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. Ayah number 37 of the surah says that Allah, her Lord, graciously accepted her. Okay, so this was a something that Allah accepted, and it was beautiful. And he Maryam alayhi salam grew up into a good woman of أَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا, in goodness, and made her in under the care of Zakaria, or Zachariah as is the biblical name. Now, Zachariah, as I mentioned before, himself was trying to have a child, and for the longest time couldn't have a child. And in other parts of the Quran, as we'll see, he is someone who tried basically his whole life to have a child, only to have a child really late in his life. But how did the realization come to the mind of Zachariah that he is not without hope? Is when he would see Maryam. He said, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّ الْمِحْرَابَ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. Every time Zachariah visited her in her chamber, he found some provision with her. He asked Mary, "Where did you get this provision from?" She replied, "This is from God. God provides for whoever He wills." So at this point, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ. Zakaria alayhi salam also realized that if Allah could miraculously provide for Maryam alayhi salam, then He will miraculously provide for me as well. Not that he didn't know this. Of course he knew this. He is a prophet of Allah. But, oftentimes we need a reminder. And the reminder comes sometimes from scripture, or sometimes it comes from experience or a circumstance, the combination of, you know, something that's mentioned in the text, and then something that happens or something that someone says, and then the reminder clicks. And that's what happened to Zakariya alayhi salam. It clicked and he made dua again, even though he'd been making dua for an extensive period of time. He again made dua, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba innaka samiu dua. My Lord, grant me by your grace virtuous offspring. You are the hearer of all prayers. This is the family of Imran. That is when miraculously, this is the first miracle birth in this family, which is Yahya, actually. In Anna Allaha yubashiruka bi Yahya. That's why the angels came to tell him that he is going to have a child. It wasn't something that is a normal occurrence for an angel to come to tell that you're expecting a child. It is in the case of a miraculous situation. So the angels come and tell him you are going to have a child. Yahya, who is known in the biblical tradition as John the Baptist. God gives you the good news of John, who shall confirm the word from God and shall be outstanding among men and utterly chaste, and a prophet from among the righteous. Now, despite that Zakariya alayhi salam made dua for it, he was still taken aback by the fact that he is now having a child. So he says, Rabbi anna yakunu li ghulam. My Lord, how can I have a child when I am now overtaken by old age, wa mara'ati aaqir, and my wife is barren? How is that going to happen? In the sense that he was surprised, he was doubtful. So the angels was conveyed to him, كَذَٰلِكَ اللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. This is the will of God. He does what he pleases. He asks Allah. He says, رَبِّ جَعَلْ لِي آيَةً. Oh, my Lord, grant me a sign. Something that is going to, it's going to be a sign for me that I am having a child, other than the fact that his wife is going to get pregnant and will visibly become pregnant. But the sign that he was given was, أَلَّا تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ إِلَّا رَمْزًا. Your sign is that you will not be able to speak to people for 3 days except by sign language. And remember your Lord much and glorify him morning and evening. Now, some of the scholars of tafsir mentioned here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this sign for Zakariya. Now think of Zakariya. He is going to be like absolutely ecstatic. He's making dua for a child his whole life. And now at this age, when he is so old, at this age, finally he has a child. His first instinct is going to be what? To tell everybody. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him is, your sign is you wait. أَلَّا تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ إِلَّا رَمْزًا. Don't spread this news right away. Take it easy. And this is something that our religion teaches us, that when we are sharing personal information or personal news, it should be done with a bit of caution. We should be mindful of how people perceive us, particularly if we are someone who is receiving blessing of Allah, and someone who isn't in the same situation might feel envious towards us. This is something we find in the Prophet Yaqub's advice to his sons. This is the same thing we find here, that it's always good to, spread good news, slowly and surely, not rapidly announcing it. And this is, just precautionary measures that are taken to have, certainty that things are going to work out. So this is one of the things. Then, of course, comes the passage about the other miraculous child of this truly faithful family, the family of Imran. Remember the juz number 3, its point, or one of the main themes of it, is understanding true faith. And here is a faithful family that is going to demonstrate what it means to truly be faithful people. You see their dua, you see their trust in Allah, you see how they are never giving up hope in Allah's mercy, and never giving up hope that Allah will give them what they have asked Him. Now comes the second miraculous child of this family, which is going to be an even bigger miracle, which is with قالت الملائكة يا مريم إن الله اصطفاكي وطهرك واصطفاك على نساء العالمين. And the angel said, Mary, God has selected you, purified you. He has selected you over all of the women of your time. Okay. It was told to Maryam, Maryam, you're going to have, your Lord gives you the good news of a word from him. Inna Allaha yubashshiruki bi kalimatin minhu. A word from him. His name is Al-Masihu Isa bin Maryam, the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary. And that is the, that is Isa alayhi salam. Wajihan fi dunya wal akhirati wa min al muqarrabin. Honored in this world and the next, and one of those who is granted nearness to God. Reply of Maryam alayhi salam to this miraculous, miraculous news and also difficult news is, قَالَتْ رَبِّ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي وَلَدْ. My Lord, how can I have a child? وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ. When no man has touched me. This is part of our belief. Maryam alayhi salam was, unmarried. She was chaste. She was a virgin. And when she conceived and had Isa alayhi salam. Now the question is, how can a woman who is virgin conceive? Well, this is because this was a miraculous birth. For us, a miracle is something that cannot happen to any other person other than a prophet. That's a miracle. Okay. Number one. Number two, miracle by its definition is what they say, خَارِقٌ لِلْعَادَةِ. It breaks the norm. The normal laws are broken. The wife of Zakaria, she is barren. She's old. She can't. She's beyond the age of having a child from a natural perspective. But the miracle is she's going to have the child. Maryam alayhi salam, naturally cannot have a child as a virgin without having intimacy. But here, as a miracle, she's going to have a child miraculously. And how is that going to be the case? قَالَ كَذَلِكِ اللَّهُ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Thus it is, God creates what He wills. إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When He wills for something to be, He says be and it is. The process of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khalq. Okay? The khalq of Allah is something that is a natural process. Okay? يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. He creates you in the wombs of your mothers. Okay? That's a natural process. Okay? The way وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah creates creatures in the oceans, around the world, animals who are we still are discovering, as new creatures, but they're created through a natural process. Okay, it's not like a miraculous event, but the creation of Isa alayhi salam and any miraculous incident is kun fayakun, is by the word of Allah kun, and that is why you notice Isa alayhi salam is called Allah is giving you the good news of a word from Him, and the word from Him is the word kun that was used to create Isa alayhi salam, conceive him in the womb of Maryam alayhi salam without having intimate relations. And that is the miracle of Isa alayhi salam. In fact, also one of the miracles that we believe that's not part of Christian theology is وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا. He would speak to men in his cradle as a little baby and as a grown man, and he will be of the righteous. And this is something that he did when he, as we'll see in chapter 19, when people said, Maryam, you have done something blasphemous. Isa alayhi salam, the baby, defended his mother at that point. Okay, Isa alayhi salam, the incredible Isa alayhi salam, the miraculous, his conception was a miracle, his birth was a miracle, his first words were a miracle, his life was a miracle, and his departure from the world, temporary departure from the world, was also a miracle. Truly a living miracle, Isa alayhi salam, someone who we love, someone who we look up to, someone who we feel all the good vibes about. Because, we love Jesus. You gotta wear that t-shirt. He's our prophet too. Isa alayhi salam, Allah says, He will instruct him in the book and in the wisdom and the Torah and the gospel. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالْتَوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Now, this is, imagine, he's a boy, he's a little boy. When he is wa rasulan ila bani Israel, the Prophet was 40 years old when he became a messenger. Musa was 40 years old when he became a messenger. Isa is a little baby, was a messenger, okay? That presents its own challenges, okay? So now when he's conveying the message to the Bani Israelites, who are older, scholarly people, they say, they're like, you know, he says to them firstly, أَنِّي أَخْلُقُ لَكُم مِّنَ الطِّينِ, I will come to you with a sign from your Lord. I will make the shape of a bird out of clay for you, then breathe into it, and by Allah's permission, it will become a living bird. وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, and by God's permission, I will heal the blind and the leper. Blind, al-akmaha, is the one who was born blind, not somebody who lost their sight. And the leper. وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, and bring the dead to life. Okay, a leprosy, particularly back in the day, was a disease that they had no cure for, and the leper was basically in quarantine for most or all of his life. But Isa alayhi salam, imagine this incurable disease in their eyes. He says, I will cure the leper and bring the dead to life by the permission of Allah, of course. And I will tell you what you eat and what you store up in your homes. Surely in this there is a sign for you if you are believers. I am here to tell you, I am fulfilling the prediction of the Torah and to make something halal that was haram. Okay, what was forbidden to you, I have come to make it lawful. I am going to make changes to the law of Moses. And I am coming with this to you with a sign from your Lord. You know, وَجِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Fear God and obey me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَعَبُدُهُ. God is my Lord and your Lord, so worship Him. That's the straight path. He's telling them, look, I am not, this is not my own doing. This is Allah's revelation. And I am as a messenger sent to you by Allah with all these miracles. This whole bucket list of miracles I am sent with, or this whole list of miracles that I am sent with. I am not the one making this up. Allah is the one who sent me with these miracles. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ, He is my Lord and your Lord, worship Him. If I tell you this is now haram, if I tell you this is now forbidden, then you accept that. If I tell you this is now permissible, you accept that. Now, this was a very difficult pill for the Bani Israelites to swallow because they, for them, the status quo was the law of Moses, and that was the way they held on to power. So to see it being challenged in this way became untenable. And that's when they say, فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرِ. They decided that they are not going to accept this from Isa. In fact, he could feel not just disbelief, but he was feeling that they are going to assassinate him. Okay? وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They schemed, but God also schemed, and He is the best of schemers. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned as an exit strategy for Isa alayhi salam. Now what's interesting here, as I'm going to take a moment here, is how it's miraculous how the detail the Quran is about Jewish theology, their internal debates, what you know they were grappling with. These are one of the reasons why the Quran is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the Prophet did not have access to this information. The Torah, the Old Testament, did not exist in Arabic at that time. And whatever existed of theology was not so detailed, right? And there's another example of this. For example, in the next juz, one of the first ayat that we'll see is this one. كُلُّ الطَّعَامِ كَانَ حِلًّا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. All food was lawful for the children of Israel, except what Israel had made unlawful for himself before the Torah was sent down. Israel here is Yaqub alayhi salam. Okay, this is a very particular issue in Jewish theology, which is something Yaqub alayhi salam, Bani Israel is from Israel, Yaqub, he made something haram for himself that the Torah did not make haram, that the law of Moses did not make haram. So they had like these issues, should we make that haram upon ourselves? And they would say later on that, yeah, it's haram because the Torah says it. But Allah says, no, actually, the Torah never says that. فَأْتُوا بِالتَّوْرَاتِ فَاتْلُوهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring the Torah then and read it if you are truthful. This is a small, not small, but subtle point of theology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting. And this is throughout the Quran to show that this is something the Prophet would have no way of knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of Bani Israel, the Lord of Musa and Isa, is the same Lord who is inspiring these revelations to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and these detailed, the details of the Jewish theology and their differences and their disputes is one of the evidences for that. Okay, now Isa alayhi salam felt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, Jesus, I am going to take you up to me. Inni mutawaffika, I will raise you. You will not pass away, O Isa. Rafi'uka ilayya, I will raise you up to me. Wa mutahhiruka min alladhina kafaru, and I shall clear you of what the disbelievers say. And I will make those who follow you above those who disbelieve on the day until the day of judgment. Then to me shall be your return, and I will judge between your disputes. Meaning, O Isa, you are going to be removed from this world while you're still alive. And inshallah, he will be sent back to this world. And that is our belief about Isa alayhi salam. His life, his birth was a miracle. His life was a miracle. His departure from this world was a miracle. He was most definitely not crucified. He was most definitely not killed. He did not live and die a normal life. He was miraculously removed by Allah from this world. And he will be sent back to the world, wherein then he will live and die normally afterwards. So that is something we believe, and that is what Surah Ali Imran mentions about Isa alayhi salam. The thing that's amazing about this faithful family is, you see, they had a lot of faith in Allah, but they also went through immense difficulties and trials. And this is part of faith, that good and bad is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And generally, when you have more faith, when you are more devoted, you are going to face more difficulties, right? Look at Zakaria, very devoted man, didn't have a child for so long. Finally has a child, and that child was eventually assassinated. The wife of Imran, devoted lady, wants to have a devoted child. Maryam alayhi salam is born, but she is now tested most so severely. Her son, Isa, prophet of Allah, not just any person, one of the greatest prophets of Allah, the word of Allah, one of the most miraculous people to have ever lived on this earth. And look at how many tests he has, how many people oppose him, how much difficulties he faced, to the point that Allah had to remove him from this earth miraculously. That is one of the lessons from this faithful family, that believing doesn't mean getting an easy pass through the difficulties of life. Believing is not like a shortcut, bypassing, in the airport you have those long lines and then you have like a short line that's given to the people who have like a VIP pass or a Nexus or something, right? That's not what faith is. Faith is means we are tested. We are going to be tried. And that is what we learn from this amazing family. Allah said, ذَلِكَ نَتْلُوهُ عَلَيْكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ وَالذِّكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ. This is what we recite to you, a revelation and a wise reminder. Of course, this is a beautiful reminder. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about how we conduct interfaith dialogue when it comes to other members of faith, particularly the Jews and the Christians. How do we have interfaith dialogue with them? The way we do it is, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. People of the book, let us come to a common word among us. Okay, a common word that is common to us, that we shall worship none but God, and that we shall associate no partner with him, and none of us shall take others besides gods for lords. And if they turn away, then say, bear witness that we have submitted to God. The common word that we had between us and the Jews and the Christians is Allah na'buda illallah. We don't worship anybody but Allah, وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا, and we do not associate any partners with him. That's our common word. But what else is our common word? What else is common between us and the Jews and the Christians? That is our father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's why Allah mentions Ibrahim next, right? يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تُحَاجُونَ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Why do you dispute about Abraham? Okay? Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one who is the common between all three faiths. So when we have a dialogue, we should say, the way we establish a dialogue is, our religion is the religion, is the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Our religion is the legacy of Ibrahim. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصَرَانِيًّا. Ibrahim was neither a Jew nor a Christian. He predated that. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا. He was the one who only wanted to worship Allah. What mattered to him was worshiping Allah only and nobody else. That is who he was. And Muslim here is used in its linguistic meaning. The one who surrendered himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I.e. us as Muslims, that's who we are as well. We surrender ourselves to Allah, commitment without compromise, just like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Our way of life is the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's what our religion is. And if we frame a dialogue with other faith religions in that way, there's only one winner. That's the way of Ibrahim. That's the way of Ibrahim. Because then we have removed, we have gone to the one who we all accept. And the one who we all accept, Ibrahim, we are the closest, we are the followers of his legacy, 100%. And that is why it's a great way to interfaith in this manner, wallahu a'lam. I've done this before in like some interfaith gatherings, and it's been, alhamdulillah, a successful strategy. But it's not because it's mine, it's from the Quran. Okay. Likewise, if you notice, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the idea of being committed to faith. Again, here he mentions that Bani Israel, how they had these like conflicts in faith, how they would change the Torah or the meaning of the Torah to fit their narrative. But that's not the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The way of Ibrahim is, فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Right there. Follow the faith of Abraham. He was an upright man and not of the polytheists. And that is our way. That is the similar word that we go to. That is what we try to emulate, or that is who we try to emulate, alayhi salam, Ibrahim. And our religion is built upon that. Wallahu a'lam. Now also there is a important point. I'm going to just flip back a little bit to the idea, as we are engaging in dialogue and interfaith and giving da'wah and whatnot and living amongst other faith community members, it's important that we do not stereotype the other. Look at what Allah says in this ayah. Ayah number 75, an important ayah. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِينَارٍ لَا يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ إِلَّا مَا دُمْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَائِمًا. Among the people of the book, there are some who, if you entrust them with a heap of gold, will return it to you. Among the people of the book, there are people of dignity and honor who will honor their word. But there are others of them who, if you entrust them with a single dinar, a single coin of gold, they won't give it to you unless you keep demanding it from them. Okay? Meaning, we shouldn't stereotype the whole by the actions of a few. Okay, when Allah criticizes the actions of Bani Israel, that actually is the actions of their religious leadership, and that is part of, or that is their theology. That's what they believed. But in terms of character, in terms of people as a people of character, we should be careful between stereotyping and assuming this. And again, you notice the Quran isn't just like a book that just lashes out against this group and that group. No, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is criticizing, He's criticizing the mistakes they made, but also gives credit where credit is due, and also instructs us on how to be fair and just in the way we speak about people. Okay, so that is another important point. Last thing about the understanding of true faith, the last theme of the third juz, or last point that I want to illustrate from the third juz about true faith, is true faith means you don't turn your back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ. Do they seek a religion other than the religion of God? وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ. Do they seek a religion other than the religion of God? When everything in the heavens and the earth has submitted to Him willingly or unwillingly, and to Him they shall all return. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created the cosmos and the laws in it, and the laws of the cosmos that bound all of us is our way of submitting to Allah willingly or unwillingly, right? Like, we are bound by His laws. We are bound by the system that He has built and that we live in. That is the unwilling submission. The willing submission is the one who accepts that Allah is his Lord or her Lord and commits without compromise. The idea of faith is that وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. Once a person is studied, understands that the Prophet ﷺ was not someone who's making this up. He did not know the theology of the Jews and the Christians. He did not have access to the details that are mentioned here. This Quran is a revelation from God, the same God that revealed the Torah to Moses and the Injil to Jesus, the same God that is the God of all people. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ is his last messenger. Once that understanding is there, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. If anyone seeks a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him. It will not. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. He will be among the losers in the hereafter. And this is one of the greatest gifts that Allah has given us, that we were born in a Muslim family. You know, we have to study our faith. We have to learn about our faith. We may think it's a burden, but in reality, it is not. It is the greatest gift that we have received. And once we study and understand it, we will realize how truly valuable it is and how truly, truly privileged we are as people. Okay? Turning a person leaving the faith is a serious matter. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا. But as for those who are bent on denying the truth after accepting true faith, but grow in their refusal, and grow in their refusal afterwards, ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا لَن تُقْبَلَ تَوْبَتُهُمْ. Their repentance will not be accepted. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الضَّالُّونَ. They are the ones who have gone far astray. Okay, this is the one who accepted faith, Ba'da iman, had faith or accepted faith, then rejected it, then didn't think about it and be like, you know what, that was a mistake, let me come back. No. This person increased in their denial and rejection and outright refusal of to acknowledge the truth. That is a person who Allah says, لَن تُقْبَلَ تَوْبَتُهُمْ. The consequences are severe. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ. Those who reject faith and die in the state of rejection will not be saved. Okay? فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ. On the day of judgment, even if they were to offer the entire volume of earth as gold, that much gold, if they were to offer as ransom on the day of judgment, it won't be accepted. Meaning no price will be accepted as ransom for the one who rejects after having accepted or after having understood. No price is accepted. And أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. Painful punishment is in store for them, and they will have no supporters. Spending, by the way, is very important in Islam. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Righteousness is only attained when you spend for the sake of God. out of which you cherish, out of what you cherish, the thing that we like the most, that is, if we can spend that, give that, that is a path to righteousness. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ وَأَتُنْفِقُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ. And whatever you spend is known to God. Now we go to the fourth juz, which one of the themes of the fourth juz I like to highlight is selflessness. There's many beautiful things we can highlight from the fourth juz. There is the idea of obedience to Allah and His Messenger. There's the idea of unity. There is many, many beautiful concepts that are in the fourth juz. But the thing I like to highlight to you all is selflessness. How important it is for a Muslim to be selfless. You look at the beginning of this juz. In the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in ayah number 96, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدَى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The first house to be built for mankind was the one at Bakkah. This is one of the names of Mecca. It is a blessed place, a source of guidance for all of mankind. فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. There are clear signs in it. It is the place where Abraham stood. This is the house of Tawheed. The house of Allah, the house, the Kaaba, is the house of Tawheed. But it is also the house that was built by the most selfless individual. The one who, while building this house, didn't really want anything, had done everything for Allah. And this was like the last offering he had put forward. And the Maqam Ibrahim is where he would stand and call people to Allah's worship, call people to Hajj. Okay, that represents sacrifice, that represents selflessness. There's no strings attached, there is no monetary gain, nothing. It's all pure, sincere devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fihi ayatun bayyinat. Okay, and that's why the one who enters this place, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا, anyone who enters it will be secure. And for the people, pilgrimage to the house is a duty for to God, for anyone who is able to undertake it. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. We ask Allah to allow us to visit His house for Umrah and Hajj, because currently they are closed. So this is the house of Allah is actually a representation of what it means to be selfless. It was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam only for the sake of Allah, no personal gain. It is a place you go only for the sake of Allah, no personal gain. When you go there, you have to be extremely selfless. You have to be able to accommodate for everybody. It's not just about you. It's about everyone who's there, and you don't know who's there. You know, everybody's dressed the same. Who is in which rank? Who's strong? Who's weak? Who's rich? Who's powerful? Nothing is known. Because we're all dressed the same way in Ihram, and you make our Umrah and a Hajj. It's an amazing place. It's like the ultimate equalizer. You see people as just a human. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And that is a beautiful place to go to show that. Now Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. This is a beautiful passage. O believers, if you yield to some of those who were given scripture, they will cause you to renounce the truth after you have believed. Is the audio okay? I would imagine the audio is fine. Is anybody else having issues with the audio? Okay, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. If you yield to some of those who were given the scripture, they will cause you to renounce the truth after you have believed. Meaning, the faith, our faith, are the tenets of our faith. We take them from our religion. We take them from the Quran and Sunnah. We don't let these tenets of faith get influenced by an external ideology. إِن تُطِيعُوا فَرِيقًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ يَرُدُّوكُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ كَافِرِينَ. Okay. Also, Allah says, how can you deny the truth when God's revelation are being conveyed to you and His own messenger is in your midst? Meaning, even though the messenger of Allah is no longer with us, if we were, subhanAllah, to understand that these are truly the words of Allah and this is the path left for us by His messenger, that is, how can a person leave that? Like, that's like the ultimate thing to abide by. وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ Allah says, who you who believe, fear God as is His due, and when that comes, be in a state of complete submission to Him. Meaning, we try our best. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ All acts of our worship, the idea there is to build taqwa. Idea is to be understanding that Allah is watching us. The idea is, it's a training for us to leave something that's haram. Try your best. حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ We can never fulfill Allah's right. But we try our best. We put our best foot forward. And we do this our whole life until death comes to us. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ We find ourselves in that state of having tried our best to have taqwa and to live a faithful, devoted life. وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا Hold fast to the rope of Allah, to the cord of God. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا And let nothing divide you. Okay, this is a very important ayah. Hold on to the rope of Allah. This requires a lot of selflessness. Because our ego will incite us to break apart. Our ego will incite us to put it first and not the unity of the collective. Put the individual ahead of the collective. In fact, not just our ego, but the system that we live in, we're a product of secularism and individualist thought that by default makes us think about individual rights first, not communal or the rights or the obligation of being a collective. That's how, unfortunately, we're trained. That's how we're raised by the system that we're in. Subhanallah. But for us as Muslims, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا The selflessness comes in holding on to the rope of Allah and not being divided. And that is a priority. That is a priority. And, you know, steps need to be taken towards that. Strides need to be taken towards that. That is a key priority for us to be united and one. This is not like a good to have. This is a very important requirement as a believer. Okay. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً That there be among you a group of people who call others to good and enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. Okay, that's an important thing. These are people who are upholding the task of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they should be supported in this. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ They are the ones who are successful. Don't be like those who break apart after given clear evidence, and for them a terrible punishment awaits. This is ayah number 105. The idea again is holding onto the rope of Allah requires a lot of self-sacrifice, a lot of selflessness, a lot of putting the community ahead of personal desires, and these things are not easy. Easy is to be by yourself, because then no one's going to hold you accountable. But difficult is to be with the group, and that is what we are asked to do. And even if we are far from that, the goal should never be forgotten that this is how we were supposed to be. Juz has this beautiful ayah, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ The day when some faces are bright and some are dark, it will be said to those with darkened faces, did you reject faith after accepting it? Taste then the punishment for having denied the truth. But those who have bright faces, shining faces, they shall be abide forever in God's grace, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ The Quran speaks about how we are meant to be the best of humanity, Muslims. We are supposed to represent the best of the people. Our ancestors would, you know, the majority of the Muslim population today became Muslim not because of a battle that their ancestors lost, but largely because they met Muslims who were businessmen, people in Indonesia, people in Malaysia, the Horn of Africa, many, many parts of subcontinent, Kerala and all those other areas. Okay, they were populated by Muslims because they were among the trading routes. And the trading routes, when the Muslims would go on the trading routes with their merchandise, their akhlaq, their manners, their upright character and their beautiful spirituality would convince people to become Muslim. Nations, okay? And that is something that is such a beautiful thing. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are indeed the best community that has been brought forth for the good of mankind. That is what we're supposed to be, right? We're not just supposed to be worried about our bank balances and our personal achievements. We're supposed to be living for something bigger. That's what this ayah is saying. And that is something we should not forget. And that's something we should think about, right? Something we should think about. How can we get back to that point? In this fourth juz is a long passage about the Battle of Uhud. The Battle of Uhud starts at ayah number 121, which I am skipping to here. Ayah number 121 is where the Battle of Uhud, the mention of it starts. Battle of Uhud, briefly, is the second major battle in the history of Islam. The Battle of Badr is the first battle. The second battle, the second major battle, is the Battle of Uhud. Now, the Surah Ali Imran details the Battle of Uhud and does it in a very interesting, very unique style. Okay? It starts talking about the Battle of Uhud, ayah number 121, and then ayah number 122. But then, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to a number of tangents. He goes to a tangent about Badr. Then he goes to the tangent about what causes a community, like what mindset makes a community defeated. Okay? Then he describes a few other important like lessons from the defeat of Uhud. Mainly, victory and defeat are part of life. You're not always going to win. Okay? No one's got a perfect record. There's going to be victory, there's going to be defeat. And then he comes back to ayah 152, about 32 ayat later to the Battle of Uhud again. The reason, wallahu alam, for this this long way of describing is because the Battle of Uhud was a painful battle. And to recount the painful mistakes is, it's like reopening the wounds. It's not an easy thing to do. That's a lesson when we are talking to somebody who has made a mistake. If we jump immediately into asking them, okay, tell us what happened, tell us what you did wrong, that is a very painful process and probably the person will not be able to take heed from their mistakes. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first talks about other things. And then finally comes back to start to speak about the details of the mistakes made that led to a defeat in Uhud. And that's a beautiful lesson if you think about it. How we speak to people who have made mistakes. Here the Sahaba have made a mistake. Okay, massive mistake. But check out how Allah speaks to them. He says, what happened in Uhud, by the way, is the Prophet ﷺ did not want to go out of Medina to fight the much larger Qurayshi army. He wanted to stay in Medina. The young Sahaba were like, no, we want to go outside and fight in an open battlefield. The Prophet ﷺ agreed. They went out to an open battlefield. And as they were there, the third of the army left. Third of the army left because, subhanAllah, they were following the leader of the hypocrites, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Now the Prophet is left with roughly 700 men facing an army much larger, twice or 2.5 to 3 times its size. And they're in an open battlefield. Yet the Prophet ﷺ plans very meticulously. He has archers on the little mount of the Jabal al-Rumah, the little mound of the archers. And their job is to shoot the arrows at the advancing Qurayshi army, negating their numbers. Uhud protects their back. The archers negate the numbers to the front. And it was a routing victory until the archers, who the Prophet said, don't leave your positions, left their positions, started to pick up the leftover swords and shields of the running, fleeing Qurayshi army. Because that's valuable stuff. Okay? And that's when Khalid ibn Walid saw an opening, ambushed the archers, finished them off, attacked the Muslims from the back, and then it was chaos. the Prophet lost a tooth. It was a rumor the Prophet had been killed, but he didn't. Finally, the battle subsided. They fled up the mountain of Uhud. The Qurayshi army could have pursued them, but in reality, they were also very much exhausted by the back and forth nature of the battle, and they packed up and left as well. And that was a very brief 1 minute summary of the Battle of Uhud. But let's see what Allah says about it. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ When you set out at dawn from your home to assign battle positions to the believers, but God hears all and knows all. Okay? إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَن تَفْشَلَا وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ When two groups from among you were about to lose heart, but God was their protector, in God, let the faithful put their trust. This was two groups from Medina, Banu Salama and Banu Haritha. They, under the influence of the other deflectors, the hypocrites who followed their leader, they also wanted to leave because that's what human beings are. These were Sahaba, right? And they saw the Prophet on one side and they saw this other hypocrite on the other side. And they were tempted to follow the hypocrite because that's how we are as people. We get influenced very easily by the loud, the powerful. Very easily we get swayed. And this is a big lesson from the battles that the Prophet ﷺ fought and the Sahaba fought, is how easily humans can get swayed by negative influences. And these were, like I said, the best of humans, the Sahaba. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the case of these two tribes, He managed to, He was their protector, and He gave them the strength to not leave, and they stayed there and fought and participated in the battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the believers that Allah helped you at Badr. Meaning, it's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to help, and He helped when you were weak. But this time there was a mistake made, and that is why the consequences were paid for. Now, what was the mistake? Before Allah comes to the mistake, He says something very fascinating. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا الرِّبَاءَ أَضْعَافًا مُضَاعَفًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ One of the root causes of defeat, a defeated nation, one of the root causes of it. What does Allah say? Oh, believers, do not devour usury multiplied many times over. Fear God so that you may prosper, and guard yourself against the fire prepared for those who deny the truth, and follow Allah and the Messenger so you may be given mercy. Okay. One of the reasons, as mentioned by Sheikh Saadi, is that this passage that talks about riba in the middle of the Battle of Uhud is to show that riba is at its core the characteristic of the most greedy. Here's a person who all they can think of is more money, more money, more money, to the detriment of the others. It doesn't matter whether you made your money or not, you are going to pay me this amount that's fixed. End of story. Okay? That extreme greed, when a person has, and this is al-da'afa mudha'afa, right? Compounded upon compound. That kind of extreme greed and selfishness is the root cause of a defeatist mindset. It's the antithesis of what a believer is supposed to be. Selfless. Helping others. Putting a smile on others' faces. Okay. That is one of the things that, as we'll see in the Battle of Uhud, that's one of the reasons that they lost. Because they were too concerned about their own financial gain, not the collective. And that was one of the root causes of their downfall. This passage in Surah Al-Imran, I encourage you to reach from 133 to 136. A very beautiful passage in which Allah describes the people who are not consumed by greed and selfishness. They are the ones who are striving in the path of Allah. سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ They are trying their best to do their best. And then they are the ones who spend. يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّى وَالضَّرَّى In good times and in bad times. They restrain anger because that requires selflessness. That requires a lot of restraint, easy to just say whatever you want when you're angry, easy to hold grudges but difficult to forgive. Those who, when they make a mistake, إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً when they've committed an indecency, not if when they have committed. Meaning, as human beings, we are going to slip. When they slip, ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ, they remember Allah. And they ask for forgiveness. And Allah is the one who forgives. These people, that is the quality of the good. That's the quality of the winners. That's the winning mindset. Focusing and working towards doing good. You know, putting others before us. Making sure others' feelings are taken care of before us. كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ, holding onto the anger. When we make mistakes ourselves, immediately asking Allah for repentance and trying to fix that mistake. That is the winning mindset. The losing mindset is greed and selfishness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this root cause. And then subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to describing the battle of Uhud again. Ayah number 151. I'm going to skip to this right here. Ayah 152, sorry. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ. God had made good on His promise to you when you were by His leave destroying them. Okay, you were routing them despite that you were underarmed and the odds were against you. حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ, but then you, your courage failed you. وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and you disagreed among yourselves. Meaning you this, you know, the Prophet said, don't leave the mount. Even if you see us being consumed by vultures, you left them out. وَعَصَيْتُمْ, you disobeyed. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ, after He had brought you within sight of what you had wished for. Subhanallah, this is the Sahaba. Again, remember I told you, the Quran criticizes where criticism is due and fair, and praises when praise is deserved. And here you see, the Quran is criticizing the Sahaba. But look at how beautiful it is. Allah didn't jump into the criticism. He first talked about good stuff. He talked about root causes, giving an uplifting message of how you can be better. You can definitely be better. And then finally comes to talk about their mistakes. And when He talks about their mistakes, doesn't mince words. You failed. Your courage failed. You disagreed. You disobeyed. مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا, you wanted the world. Selfishness and greed. All of these things Allah mentions very clearly. The Prophet ﷺ was hurt. He was running away. Oh, sorry, they were running away. إِذْ تُصْعِدُونَ وَلَا تَلْوُونَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ وَالرَّسُولُ يَدْعُوكُمْ, the messenger is calling you, try to rally the troop, and you were running away from the messenger. Very, very, like these were difficult times, and that's what it was. That's the consequences of the choices that were made. Based on selfishness, based on worldly gain, and that cost the Muslims dearly. That caused the Muslims so dearly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually says about them that those of you who turned away on the day when the two hosts met in battle, it was Satan who caused them to slip, but Allah is forgiving and most merciful, He has forgiven them. Despite the fact that there was a lot of losses in this battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet ﷺ and reminds us of how amazing the Prophet ﷺ's character was. The Prophet ﷺ had all the reason to be upset. He had all the reason to hold a grudge against those who had asked him to leave Medina to go out to the battlefield. He had all the reason to be angry at those who left the mount, at the Mount of Archers. He had all the reason to be angry at those who were running away when he was calling them to regroup. Every reason the Prophet ﷺ had to be angry. But Allah says what? فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, it is by the grace of Allah, it's by God's grace that you were gentle with them, O Prophet ﷺ. Being gentle is a grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a mercy of Allah. It's a gift of Allah. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, if you were harsh and hard-hearted, if you, the Prophet, was harsh and hard-hearted, لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, they would have surely deserted you. They is Sahaba. You, the Prophet ﷺ. If the Prophet of Allah was rough and harsh, the Sahaba would have left him. That's what Allah is saying. Meaning, how much more for us? We have to be even more gentle with those around us, because if you're harsh and hard-hearted, that will cause people to desert. They will cause people to leave. People won't listen to us. And this being gentle, being forgiving, overlooking, that is prophetic character. That is mercy. That is Allah's gift. And that is who the Prophet ﷺ was. And that's what he demonstrated after the Battle of Uhud. فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ ask Allah to forgive them. وَشَابِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ ask their opinion. It doesn't matter if they made a mistake once. You see, like, they made a mistake once, it was a terrible mistake. That should not define them forever. That doesn't mean that you never ask them for their opinion ever again. وَشَابِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ ask them what they think, and that's what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. And that is a lesson for us in leadership. We are supposed to, as in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces, that is how we're supposed to be, gentle, not harsh, forgiving, asking for forgiveness, and continuing to treat people in a dignified, uplifting manner, even after they have made mistakes. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ once you have decided, then put your trust in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the unknowns, the variables they don't control. This is a brief summary of the Battle of Uhud and the amazing lessons. The lesson of the amazing response of the Prophet summoned to defeat. How greed and selfishness cause defeat. How disobeying Allah and His Messenger cause defeat. How to talk about mistakes. How does the Quran speak about mistakes? That is one of the lessons from this passage of Surah Ali Imran, the passage of describing the battle of Uhud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I'll finish this in a couple of minutes, if you can give me a minute here, that تُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ you will surely be tried and tested in your possessions and your persons. You will face a number of tests, and you will hear many hurtful things from those who were given the book before you, and from the polytheists, from all types of religions, you will hear hurtful things. But if وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا if you endure with fortitude, if you show restraint, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ that is a strong matter of determination. That's a matter of strong determination. It shows strength of character. The Prophet ﷺ showed that as a response to his defeat. That wasn't his fault. It was other people's fault. But he showed what it means to be, show restraint, and to uplift the one who was down. It's easy to kick a man who's down. It's difficult to lift a man who's down. And that's what the Prophet used to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this surah with one of the most beautiful passages. The Prophet said, these 10 ayat are revealed upon me, when they're revealed. And وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَأَهَا وَلَمْ the one who reads it and doesn't think about it, what a tragedy. It is إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. There are signs in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and the day for people of understanding. Who is the smart one? Who's the smart people that Allah says here? They are the ones who are smart. أولي الألباب. Their minds are clear, and they are the ones who their hearts are connected to Allah. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم. They remember Allah while sitting and lying on their sides. And they يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ they're thinking about the creation. Their mind is processing what's around them. They're not occupied by or distracted by distractions of the world. They're focused on understanding the purpose of life. And their clear minds, they're smart. And their hearts are connected to Allah. They're remembering Allah. They want Allah. And when these two things are together, there is beautiful things that happen. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ Lord, you have not created all of this without purpose. Glory be to you. Save us from the torment of the fire. This is what spirituality is in Islam. We have to have sound minds and sound hearts to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just Islam is not just an activity of logic, exercise in deduction of law and whatnot. No. But it is a place for reasoning. Huge place for reasoning. Islam is neither just, stories and fables and spirituality without any anchors. No. It's both together. It is spirituality that is real. يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ based out of remembrance of Allah. It is rationality that's real. أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ thinking of the creation of Allah, studying the universe. Both things together is the magic combination. That is the people who are smart. And that's who Allah concludes the surah with. The surah of understanding faith. The surah of how do you get conviction and faith. That's how you do it. This dua is a beautiful dua. I encourage you to read it. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَغْزَيْتَ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ Lord, those who have condemned to enter the fire, you have surely brought to disgrace. Wrongdoers will have no supporters. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِ لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا Lord, we have heard a caller calling to the true faith, saying, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا Lord, forgive us our sins. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا Remove from us our bad deeds. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ And make us die with the virtuous. رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُلِكَ O our Lord, grant us what you have promised to us through your messengers. وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And do not humiliate us on the Day of Judgment. إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ You surely do not, you should never fail to fulfill your promise. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ Their Lord accepted their prayer. Their Lord accepted their prayer. I will deny no man or woman among you the reward of their labor. In this matter, men and women are the same. There is no discrimination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He accepted the prayer. I ask you to make the du'a for yourselves and your families. Jazakumullah khair for sticking around till the very end. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll start with Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, describing many beautiful laws about our faith and many, many different aspects of the practice of our faith. Inshallah, I hope to see you all there. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Thank you very much for sticking around. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.